Are you ready to be in the spotlight? Are you ready to share your story with the world? Well, Snails with No Shells is where you need to be. Available on all digital platforms, Facebook and YouTube. Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door.
Where did we go wrong? We were doing so well.
Greetings, greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. That is my only rule in this room. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it. I have an amazing guest with me this evening. I am so excited to have him alone. And I will explain to you what I mean by that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring him to the stage. Brian Leonard!
How are you? I am absolutely doing great. And it is such a humbling honor to be with you and come and just be myself and help others through your wonderful and amazing platform that's touching lives around the world.
Awesome. That's right. We're going to leave that shell at the door. I love it. All right, let's get into it. Mr. Brian Leonard. Now, Brian is an Amazon number one best-selling author. Mm-hmm. He co-authored Grief Through His Eyes. I know you guys, I've been talking about that book, Grief Through His Eyes, and doing so many interviews about that book. And this is another amazing co-author, okay? Also, Brian is a retired 20-year U.S. Navy veteran. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yes, and also he is a public speaker who has recently been featured in Robin Anthony's RenewHerbs.com for his amazing, successful weight loss testimony. All right. Let me see. He has an amazing bio. I think we're going to just draw the line there because we could be reading this for a couple of hours. Awesome. Okay, Brian. So first question, where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Alabama, a little small ghost town called Atlantic, Alabama. It was nine of us in the family, five sisters, four brothers. We grew up in the country. Mm-hmm. And I mean in the country, I mean where it was like you had one post office, one grocery store, mm-hmm. one gas station, one high school, one elementary school, one primary school. But the family neighbor type community was truly special when it came to looking out for one another. I grew up in those times in Alabama where you could leave your front door open all night long. Mm-hmm. You could leave your windows up at your house all night long, right, and not have to worry about anything like that. Maybe a mosquito here or so, you know, and stuff like that. but I grew up with some humble beginnings, had wonderful parents. Unfortunately, they went home to be with the Lord while I was in the military. But we were about family. Many times we couldn't stand each other as a family, but we were still about family. We were still about, you know, church, the importance of being in church as a family. My daddy, he was really amazing because he would be the one, and he was a deacon. Mm-hmm. He would be the one who would open up the church and at the end of service, close up the church. Mm-hmm. And this went through all seasons. And not only that, he worked three jobs and still was able to go to church on Sunday.
Wow.
And that was his heart, you know, for us and the family. And it wasn't, if he went to church, the whole family went to church.
Right.
It was none of this, well, Dad, I'm going to sit back home and watch the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show while y'all go ahead and praise him.
Right.
Whoa. If daddy said, you're going to be in church, you're going to be in church. And the beautiful thing about it is that, and I believe this is also important of my foundation, of me coming in my relationship with the Lord and where I'm at today, is I sung in the choir at the church, little small church called Beulah Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's also a Beulah Baptist Church in Ohio. Think about mm-hmm. that, you know, Beulah Baptist Church. And there was times when if there was not enough choir members, mom would look at you out there sitting out there in the pews like, get up here and see. Get up here.
Yeah. Right.
And you pretend like you like, you know, you don't see her or anything like that. But long story short, it was such an honor and a blessing. And I really believe that was the foundation that my mother and my father sowed into me in helping me become the man, the father, the neighbor, the brother, mm-hmm. whatever, the person that I am today. And I'm truly blessed to be such a blessing since being here all these years.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I grew up during those times where we spent a lot of time in church. Mm-hmm. We were there on Sunday school, before church. Mm-hmm. Seemed like after church, seemed like we had something going on during the week. It seemed like we was in church every day. I swear.
I know.
Every day.
You know what, BJ? We was ready to go to church, especially when they was getting ready to serve some food.
Right.
Oh, we was up. Boy, they had that chicken and them collard greens and that cornbread. And you know, the reverend, you know, nobody could eat until the reverend got his plate fixed first, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then everybody was able to fix a plate for themselves. But yeah. Those were some good old times, you know. Yeah. I mean, coming up and cutting the church ground, cutting the grass and everything. Our daddy, I'm going to tell you something. My father, he believed in work. If he worked, rest assured you, he had his sons busy or his sisters or his daughters working as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of times he'd take us and go places to help him do a job, mm-hmm. do a job. You know, and it was good because being a little, you know, little at that time, we knew we was going to get some out of it, even if it was just a Coca-Cola and a honey bun. you know, all that bad food that, you know, right. that we was eating and everything,
right.
you know, from the country store, you know, but those are the times where we just, it was in Alabama now, things have changed eventually. But being in Alabama, being raised up with a family of nine, it really was something special. Wonderful memories, fun times. We made each other laugh. Mm-hmm. Okay. If we, you know, sometimes families can be sitcoms.
Yes.
Their own sitcoms, you know, because we could have, you know, my sister could do something crazy. My brother would do something crazy. Mm-hmm. My daddy, we would upset him in such a way, or my mom in such a way. Oh my goodness. I don't know this generation nowadays, but we was raised up on the switch, the razor strap, the back of the hand and everything. The reason why I say that, you know, and the reason why I say it is because, BJ, it kept us out of the city papers and the city jails.
Got it.
Because the parents, my parents, when they disciplined us, okay, it was a means and a ways of my daddy would say when he got ready to do what he did to us, he said, I'm doing this to you because I love you.
Right.
Well, at that time, it didn't feel like love. Right. You know, it didn't feel like love, you know, and even with mother and everything. So, but through it all, I cherish my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. Some have gone home to have transitioned, like my mother and my father and everything. So we have like one, I have a baby sister, another sister in Ohio, myself, another brother in Vegas, And another brother also who's my baby brother, he's in Alabama as well. So great memories, you know, good times, you know, so it was wonderful. It's wonderful to this day.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. yeah.
Oh, that's the country up north.
Right. right.
yeah. So, you know, so yeah, it was something, you know. I mean, it was times. Oh man. See, because it's funny that you say that, because if you lived up north, you know, you was considered, nobody probably cannot. Some will remember it, others will not, but there were times if you lived up north, you was considered a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
A Yankee.
Right.
you know, so, but yeah, but other than that, like I said, my sister who lives in Ohio, she's been blessed to be married once again. Mm-hmm. And she lives in Dayton. Wonderful singing voice, wonderful woman of God, her and her husband. In fact, her husband just got promoted, or should I say moved up to bishop elect. Okay. So we have a family who you could say have been in church. Church has been very important in our lives. Mm-hmm. But over a course of time, there comes a time where there are some things that the Lord wants to weed out of your life to really for you to get to know him in a special and intimate way. Yes. And throughout those years, that has happened to me. I really believe that with any man or woman, especially in tough times that we're facing, and even as a co-author myself, I'm humbly honored to be that. There is nothing like knowing that you can lean on the everlasting arm, you know, lean and safe and secure on the everlasting arm of the Lord. So I give it all. I give all the props to God, you know, for bringing me this far.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. So next question, Brian, what did you want to be when you grew up?
What did I wanted to be when I grew up? Oh man, there was, you know, when you, there's so many things that you want to, you know, get an opportunity to not when you grow up, you maybe wanted to be like, you know, be like. One of the things that I wanted, you know, I wanted to be a firefighter. Okay. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to be a martial arts expert. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be, believe it or not, I wanted to be a preacher.
Okay.
But over a course of time, I got a greater understanding of what preaching or being a preacher was really all about. Because the word preach literally means just to communicate.
Okay.
Communicate the good news. Now, I didn't know that coming up in the Beulah Baptist Church days, you know, because, you know, if you, if you just knew even a little bit of the Word of God, the Bible, you know, people would tell you in church, man, you should be preaching. You should be a preacher, you know, you should have a trial sermon. There's no such thing as a trial sermon, you know, so you're either in or you're out. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's none of this, you know, back and forth and back and forth. But I learned that a long time ago that if when it comes to whether you're a man or a woman, because this is about, see, one thing I learned about church, but I never knew about relationship.
Okay.
Relationship. No one taught, I learned a lot about going to church. I learned about eating a lot of fried chicken on choir anniversary evenings and everything and staying up late and all that stuff. But nobody shared with me about relationship, having that relationship with God. And that's why I discovered that in my own life, at the time, me and my wife going through, you know, our marriage, and even at times before we got saved, I came to a point in my life where knowing and having a relationship is very key, you know. See, because you can go to church all you want to, okay? You can go to a large church, smart church, sit and hear the preacher preach and everything, and then people ask you, they'll ask you, what did he preach on? You will say, I don't know. It's just like, you know, it goes right over your head and everything, you know. But that's when I learned the importance, you know, just for me personally, being in the military. And at the time when I was at the point in my life where I just wanted to, at the time, have my cake and eat it too, run wild and everything like the world does. But I came to a point where I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came across a lady when I was stationed in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she taught me the importance of knowing the word. Because anytime, BJ, I had a question, it was like, if I had a question on, how do I know about the fruit? She'll say, go to Galatians 5. 5:19. Mm-hmm. Okay. So mm-hmm. She gave me homework. And that's one of the things I share with people. Long as you're on this earth, God is going to give you homework. That's why he tells us to study to show thyself approved. Mm-hmm. So we got homework, but it is a relationship type of homework with God and his word. So that's one of the things I want to inspire those who may be out there and wondering, how do I come to know the Lord? And I share this with everybody, and it's short and simple. Spending time in the word means spending time with God, because he wants to spend time with us. One thing that's so beautiful about our loving Father, our Heavenly Father, is that he wants to come in on our life. He don't want to condemn us. He don't want to hurt us. And he wants to help us and be a part of every area of our lives, even when it comes to times of loss, grief, pain, sorrow, that which I have experienced in the past year of my wife transitioning, and at the same time during our 37th wedding anniversary. Also, my son, whose wife, even during that time my wife transitioned, she had a second miscarriage. Mm. At the same time. And along with that, other things that had taken place. So we have, as a family, have had to overcome a tremendous amount of grief. So, but through it all, this is why I strongly believe that it is important in these times, and there's times when we all may face grief, whether it be now or later, eventually one point in our lives or somewhere in our lives, we're going to experience some type of loss or grief. And understand that it ain't always grief. See, grief is not always those that we love and cherish the most that we lose, you know, due to illness or sickness or whatever or whatever. But also people grieve for several reasons. People grieve because they can't find a job. Mm-hmm. They grieve because their family pet died. You'll be amazed of how people have that, you know, because this is a family pet. You know, mm-hmm. the dog comes mm-hmm. to the door and see dad or mom or the children get off the bus from school, you know, and everything, and he's wiggling their tail. And then all of a sudden, the dog or the cat or the bird or whatever, is no longer part of the family because, you know, animals get eventually sick,
right?
And end up having to, you know, move on. And it really can take a toll on families. And then there are other situations where people may be grieving because they've been, for example, there's times where people may have been molested as mm-hmm. children. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain things and there's triggers that sometimes will come across those type of things that may have happened to them as far as 40 years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the reasons why it's important to understand that, yes, grief, we all going to face times where we're going to lose those that who are dear and we cherish in our lives, you know, like my wife and I miss her every day. Mm-hmm. Oh, the pain, you know, day and night. But, you know, through it all, my story is for God's glory.
That's right.
And I know that even in times of my pain and suffering and in my loss and even whatever way that may come my way, it is important that we have a foundation with God's love, knowing that he cares for us and he knows how to sympathize with our weaknesses. Okay. He understands exactly what you and me and those who are viewing what you're going through. And he wants to be there because he's the source and comfort of all the strength we need to help us to make it through these difficult times, you know? So I just give honor and thanks, you know, for being available, being made available, you know, to be a blessing, because it's not about me. Even what I've gone through is still not about me, because mm-hmm. I understand it's okay to be vulnerable as a man. It's yes. okay to be vulnerable as a woman. It's okay to say, look, I need help. I need support. I need a shoulder to lean on in these times and everything, because you don't want to deal with grief alone, you know, mm-hmm. and there's always help out there that you can always reach out and know that. See, understand mm-hmm. also, you don't have to seek therapeutic counseling when bad things go on mm-hmm. or when bad things may happen, or you may lose a family member or a friend or a loved one or a pet or whatever, a job, or you've been laid off and unemployed or stuff like that, you know, different types of grief, you know. But there are times when you just need, you know, in the grieving process, there are times when you just need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
I consider this a platform where healing can take place.
Yes.
Okay. So when you ask me to do an interview with you, it's not just you're not just helping me and I'm not just helping you, but we're helping others yes. in such a way that, I mean, and the wonderful result is that it gives people hope. Mm-hmm. It lets them know that they're not alone and that God cares and loves and that he knows the desires and wants to help them in their times of trouble.
Yes. Amazing. I love it, Brian. I love it. Yes. And that is the truth, because like you said, we're both up here. And when you talk, there are some things, you know, that there are some takeaways that I get, mm-hmm. you know, from people that I call them conversations. I don't really like to call them interviews because no one's applying for a job, right?
Mm-hmm. I got it.
You know, there are takeaways that I get from these interviews. And sometimes there are certain things that may, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, or I didn't think of that. So I learned a lot from you as well, you know, so it's definitely, I think it's a beautiful space.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? So, and even, you know, you leave your shell at the door, I'm definitely going to leave mine at the door. I mean, that's one of my rules. So I'm not going to tell you to do something that I don't do. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, so, oh my gosh. So let's just talk briefly about your weight loss journey. I know you got, you know, some accolades for that.
Oh my goodness. It all started, just to let you know, last year during our 37th wedding anniversary, mm-hmm. Me and my wife, was diagnosed with COVID pneumonia, and mm-hmm. we were both hospitalized. And I forgot to tell you, at the same time, also, my daughter was facing urgent surgery in the same hospital, because if she didn't get that surgery, they was looking to amputate her toes.
Oh, my gosh.
All of this, along with my daughter-in-law's second miscarriage, took place
mm.
at the same hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to your question is my weight loss success, because first of all, it's an honor. I'm just going to humbly say it like this, BJ, mm-hmm. and everybody out there. It could have been me and my wife.
Mm. Mm.
That's how serious it was. Mm-hmm. I remember the times when they had me on oxygen. I remember when I was little, because the COVID really took a toll. And one of the things about the COVID pneumonia, it really takes a toll on your respiratory system. Mm-hmm. That's why they give you that oxygen.
Right. Okay.
And there was time when my oxygen level was going up, going down, going up. And as I continued to heed to the directions of the doctors, my oxygen levels got better. But after being, coming out of the hospital, I was still like, I was not 100%. I was probably, because there were so many COVID cases coming into the hospitals, it was like pretty much if you could do certain things after the respiratory doctor gave the okay, after he give you some tests to do and all that stuff, physical tests, you were good to go. Because at the time, the COVID season really was taking a toll on a lot of people. Okay. When I got home, and as time went on, you know, after my wife had transitioned to be with the Lord and everything, in order for my health to get better, that's when I, because I'm gonna tell you something, for me to take a shower was exhausting.